You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic. My guest for today's episode is Dr. Bob Coleman, Associate Professor and Equine Extension Specialist at the University of Kentucky. Welcome, Dr. Coleman.
Hi, Haley. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And can you tell us a little bit about your experience with horse barn management?
Well, I started out getting to have a horse in the backyard. So with my parents, we actually built our first barn and paddock system and those sorts of things. And then as I grew up and got into the career that I have as an extension horse specialist, I've had a wonderful opportunity to look at how people care for their horses, how barns are built, pretty much across North America. Growing up in Western Canada, I got to see how we did things there. And then since moving to Kentucky, I get the opportunity to go and look at a lot of facilities that are certainly here in the state of Kentucky, but also have had a great opportunity to look at horse facilities pretty much across the United States, maybe not in every state of the union, but certainly from east to west and a little bit north to south. So have an idea of how people do things. I also have an idea of how maybe we should be doing it in order to care for our horses in the best possible way.
So in your experience, when you're traveling around to look at other farms, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see in terms of management?
Probably some of the biggest things, and I don't know if mistakes is exactly the right word, but you know, things that we do because we think of what the environment the horse needs to be in from our perspective and not always from the horse's perspective. So I think in a lot of times when we build facilities, particularly when we build barns, we're looking at having something that provides an environment that we're very comfortable in, but without stopping to think about, is it the most comfortable for the horse? The other thing that I see in a lot of times in facilities is maybe we should spend a little more time thinking about how we're going to care for our horses in that facility. So what's the best way to, you know, put things together, have, you know, our hay supply in an area that's easy to get to so that we can utilize it to feed horses? Where do we have the tack room and those sorts of things? And even more importantly is how do we actually access the facility? You know, we put the big doors in. Are the big doors the best way for us to always be going in and out of the barn? Would it be better if we had some people doors, which might make it easier for us going in and out? They're certainly not the access for the horses, but maybe that's a good idea as a way to not always have to open the big door, not have to worry about, you know, just being able to access the facility. So in a lot of cases, I think we need to think about when we get into the barn, how do we move around inside it as far as caring for the horses? If we're going to go and ride, what's the access to the arena? Are we riding in an arena that's attached to the barn, or do we have to leave the barn and go to wherever the arena is? So what kind of access have we got so we can do those sorts of things? So the biggest and the first one that always gets me is, you know, how are we going to ventilate this facility? We like to have it warm because I guess if you're in a cold climate, you'd like to be able to be in the barn and not be bundled up like you're trying to do stuff outside, because it's a lot easier on us if we're not quite so bundled up. But a lot of times what we do is we close the barn up so tight to keep the heat in without realizing that we're also keeping some of the air in that we need to exhaust. You know, that air is going to have some dust particles. It's going to have some moisture in it. And depending on how you're caring for your horses, it's probably going to have some ammonia in it. So we want to have air exchanges. That means that we have to have air leaving the barn and fresh air coming in. I go to lots of places, Haley, where, you know, they have fans set up, but all this fan is doing is just mixing the air in the in that facility. It's not actually exchanging it. And in a lot of cases, we're not actually getting fresh air or as much fresh air as we would like to have going into the stall to keep that horse comfortable. And part of that is just because of how we design our facilities. You know, we put horses in stalls. Stalls have walls. That's going to change how the air moves within the facility. We also then close it up really tightly because, as I said earlier, when it's cold out, we're trying to keep any warmth inside. And in some cases, we need to do that because we're thinking about keeping things from freezing and so on. And we'd like our horses to be comfortable. But we're not moving the air the way we need to. In the summertime, it's exactly the opposite. Are we moving enough fresh air and getting that warm air that's in the barn out? And again, we're going to move some moisture and probably some ammonia and dust and that's going to be in the barn. I mean, it's pretty hard, if not absolutely impossible, to have a dust-free environment. So thinking about how we're going to construct our barn, where we're putting the doors, where we're having fresh air come in, and where we're having that stale air leave so that we truly do change the air. So those are the things that I see in a lot of barns that we just don't have them constructed so that the air exchanges are what we need. And a lot of people will always ask, it's like, well, how often does it need to change? It depends on the number of horses in the barn and a lot of other things. So to just throw a number out is usually not very appropriate because it can give the wrong impressions. So ventilation and access are probably two of the biggest things that I see that we don't think about. We build the barn, we put the doors where the barn plans say to put them. We may or may not put windows in because if the barn plan didn't say to, well, then we're not going to. We are going to build our stalls the way we've seen other people build stalls. We worry about some of the things about, you know, the health of the horses and not having horses touch noses. But we also should appreciate that horses are very social. They like to be able to see their stable mates. They like to be able to see what's going on. So thinking more about what does the horse need, a little bit more than what we as horse owners would like, is something that we need to spend more time doing.
Yeah, I really like what you said about ventilation specifically. It hits home right now because in Pennsylvania, where I am, it's getting colder. So we're thinking, oh my gosh, my horse is cold. I'm going to close up the windows and close the doors at night when my horse is in and make sure he's nice and warm. But when I feel my horse, when I leave the barn, he's not cold. And he probably doesn't want the doors all the way closed and all of the windows closed. So it's a good reminder that maybe stop and think before we say, oh, I'm cold, my horse is cold. Well, your horse might not be cold, and maybe it's actually best that you leave a door or a window open for him throughout the night. So I think that's an excellent reminder for everyone.
Yeah, and because the other thing too is, and we see it for, you know, as horse owners, I talk to lots of horse owners, and you look at lots of things, and we all have blankets to put our horses on. So if you're a little worried about how heavy that hair coat is and that they might be a little cooler in that barn when it gets cold, it's easy to put a blanket on them, and that certainly does help. I mean, we do that when it's a little colder outside. We either put a sweater or a vest or a jacket on, so we can do some of that and worry a little less about the absolute temperature and think more about the quality of air. We did some work a few years ago, and basically it was just an observation, but we put up temperature sensors in a barn for sort of December through March, just to see, you know, what does the temperature do during the day, during the night? And these sensors take a temperature reading every 5 minutes. So we collected a lot of data. To compare, we also had a temperature sensor outside the barn. So it was measuring kind of the ambient temperature. And it was interesting that the barn stayed 4 to 8 degrees warmer than outside. So we had picked a maybe not the best winter to do it because it wasn't as cold as it can get. But the temperature in the barn with the horses in it never got below freezing. So there was never an issue with, you know, were the water buckets always going to be open and horses were going to have water to drink? Yes, they were, because it did not get that cold. Now, the barn was full, a 20-stall barn that had horses in all the stalls. So there's a lot of heat being generated by those horses. And so, you know, unless it's getting to be really cold, and there may be people listening to the podcast, Haley, that are from where I come from. So, you know, in Western Canada, North Dakota, Montana, up in those parts of the country where it can get cold, it can get to, you know, minus 30, minus 40 degrees. And so, yeah, it is cold. But if you've got horses in the barn and they're protected from the elements to a degree, particularly precipitation and wind, they're going to be okay, even though it is getting that cold. They'll use a few more calories to stay warm, but they'll do reasonably quite well, and they'll be a lot healthier and happier if that air is getting exchanged. We get rid of any of the ammonia and the dust and the water vapor. Those horses will be much healthier and do a lot better, even though we're a little cold when we're doing chores, but they'll be fine. I think the other thing that goes with that is, and I see a lot of people that will have very nice run-in sheds outside for their horses. And again, they're thinking about, you know, what kind of protection am I giving my horse from the environment? And generally, if it's in the winter months, it, you know, what are we trying to protect from? Precipitation, depending on what you get. If it's snow, it's one thing. If it's a cold, wet rain that I'm going to guess that in parts of Pennsylvania, you get those. I know we get them here in Kentucky. So we want to be able to get the horses in a place where they can stay dry and be out of the wind. So it doesn't take that much of a facility to do that. So a good run-in shed that's big enough for the number of horses you have to get in will help. It also needs to be well ventilated. And a lot of times people wonder, well, what do you mean? The whole one side of this shed is open, so that should be enough ventilation. No, when the air is moving over top of the building or around the building, you don't want to create any kind of a vacuum that's going to cause the air to come back into the building. Because if that air is moving and it has moisture in it, you're going to bring the moisture into the building. So you need to structure it in the right way. You also need to plan to, where am I going to orient this so that when the prevailing winds blow, the horses have protection. So generally you have it so that the prevailing winds will hit the back of the shed, and that will give the horses the protection that they need. And they'll go in if they really feel the need for it. A lot of times horses don't. Or the other thing I hear from people is, well, should I put doors on the front of my run-in shed so that we can close it up and it'll be much better for the horses? That's probably not very productive, and you're going to add to your labor and your cost for that. And maybe just leave it open and let the horses go in and out. They're pretty smart at finding places where they're going to be comfortable. And again, it's like we got the barn warm because we want it to be warm, not because the horses, they stand and get the protection from that run-in shed in the way they want it. It might not be what we think it should be, but it's what they want. I mean, I've seen lots of run-in sheds, and we sort of jokingly call them the three-sided sheds, but they only have a back wall. They don't have sidewalls. And I've seen lots of those in lots of different climates where they've got them fairly open, and the structure is such that so the horses can come and go the way they want to. The hierarchy of the herd does not become quite as much of an issue, and the horses will use the facility the way they need to. And yes, it'll hurt our feelings if we built a lovely run-in shed and they don't want to use it. Don't let your feelings get hurt. Provide the structures that the horses need so that they're comfortable and we're doing the best job we can to keep them happy and healthy.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So what do you recommend that barn owners, managers, builders, etc. keep in mind when they're creating a barn or a run-in shed to help with these ventilation problems?
Well, find out where your prevailing winds come from and orient the structure so that you get the best opportunity to take advantage of those breezes and use some natural ventilation. So that would be the first thing, so that if I do have some doors open, that I've got it oriented so that when there's a little bit of breeze blowing, that's probably more of an importance in the summertime, but that, yeah, I'm getting some air moving through. Then from a structural standpoint, make sure that there are places for fresh air to come in. So when we have the eaves on the side of our barns where the roof comes down to the wall, I mean, have those eaves as open as you possibly can make them. A lot of times I see barns are built with the soffits filled in like they would on a house. Well, we're not building a house, we're building a barn. So having those soffit areas much more open so that you do get some fresh air comes in from there, and we're getting some fresh air coming in. So I think that's really positive. And a lot of times we see that they're not only are they like a house, but in some cases they're almost solid. Now, the one thing people will say, but we do that because otherwise the birds get in. Well, you can put some netting over there to keep the birds out and still have pretty maximum airflow. Inside, and again, thinking about where the doors are going to be, having some windows. A lot of barns now have them, but a lot of barns in days gone by didn't have them because it wasn't something that we put in. But I would think about having some windows and probably windows that I can open or some openings that I can have from easily from the outside. If the horses want to put their heads out, that certainly having those kind of openings does help to get some fresh air moving. I would put a ridge vent or, you know, in lots of places you will see the cupolas. But if you're going to put a cupola in the roof of your barn, it needs to be one that is open, and it needs to be one that's big enough so that it does allow for some exhausting of the air on a natural way as the warm air will rise and give it a place to leave. If you don't want to put a cupola on, have a ridge vent, and have a fairly open ridge vent, and I would put it over the full length of the roof of the barn so that I can maximize how much air is leaving. Because as I said, warm air rises and it goes out. The other thing I would do in building a barn is I would not put any kind of a ceiling over top of the stalls. We often want to have a place where we can store things. And I realize, again, in days of old, we put lofts in barns because we needed to put the feed we were going to have, particularly the hay that we were going to be feeding the animals in the barn, in close proximity to the animals. So we put it in a loft over top. A lot of cases, if you look at those barns, they have a very high ceiling. And so there is a little more room in order to get some air movement. And they probably also had some areas over the alleyway of the barn that were open or could be open because that's where they would drop the hay down and put it into the into the stalls or have some place to feed the livestock. So there was an opportunity for air to move up and get out of the barn and be evacuated, essentially, so that you would have more room for fresh air to come in. Probably a lot of those barns weren't as sealed as tight as some of the ones that we're building today. So if you have to have storage in the barn and you think you need to have a loft, if you have to do that, have that only over the alleyway of the barn, not over top of the horses, and make sure that you don't impede the air that needs to go into the stalls and then come up out of the stalls, taking again the heat, the moisture, the ammonia, the dust, you know, but getting rid of that air that we don't want in the stalls and replacing it with fresh air. I would also try to have at least my stall doors very open. I like the grid kind of stall doors. Again, I want to have a way to not stop the air from going into the stalls. And if I can have it a little more open between horses, so my sidewalls aren't going to be quite as sealed, I would probably have one or two stalls in the barn where if you need to quarantine or a horse needs to be kept by himself for a while, or he's just one of those horses that's the lifestyle that they function the best in, I would have that. But we do know that the more you have good air exchange, the more fresh air is going in and the bad air is going out, the healthier your barn will be. And the healthier your barn is, the healthier your horses will be. So making sure that you don't stop the airflow. And that's both in the summer and in the winter. So we're trying to get it cool in the summertime. We're trying to not have it get real cold in the wintertime. But doing those sorts of things and just thinking about how am I going to get air in and out of this facility so that I do have, you know, good fresh air and a good healthy barn.
So you mentioned haylofts a minute ago, and I've seen a few barns in the general area out here that have had issues with barn fires stemming from their hayloft. In your experience, is that common that haylofts are a cause of barn fires? And if so, is there a way for barn owners to combat that, especially if they're low on space on their property for another hay storage shelter?
Usually the problem with another hay storage is you might have a place on the farm to build one, but you might not have the financial resources to build one. So a lot of times we will see that. So yeah, barn fires are an issue. And part of it is you need to make sure that you're stacking hay, if you're putting hay in there, that it is dry. So, you know, generally we would like to see that hay dry below 16.5% moisture. So that, number one, that will store better. When we start to get up higher than that, we are approaching 20% moisture. That's when we start to see mold being formed in those bales, and we don't want to have moldy hay going to our horses. So probably the biggest thing as a horse owner you can do is to make sure that hay is dry before you put it in the barn. And certainly when you start stacking it in a loft, one of the things that horse owners should talk about is with your insurance agent, what does that actually impact on the insurance that you're going to put on that barn? Because, you know, you're stacking a flammable entity in the barn. There are some places, and it would take being able to keep it warm, but I know there's some that will put in a sprinkler system in order to protect that. But I think, Haley, the biggest thing is making sure that hay is dry enough to go into a storage facility. Because even if you had it in a facility away from the barn, if it's high moisture hay and has the potential for spontaneous combustion, it doesn't have to be in a barn loft for that to happen. It can happen in hay sheds. And that's when we see it, is that we're putting up hay a little too high in moisture content, we're putting it in storage and then having it get hot. If for some reason you get up there and you notice that you've got some hot bales, and you are concerned about that, the first thing I would do is I would be calling the fire department to come and be on site when you unstack that hay, because as soon as you create an oxygen-rich environment, if there is the potential for it to catch fire, that it could easily happen. So you need to be prepared when you unstack some of that hay. If you notice that it's getting hot, be prepared for that. But the biggest thing is just getting the hay right before you put it in the barn.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I also wanted to jump back to the ammonia comment that mm-hmm. you made a while ago. I think personally, even when we're not referring to keeping doors and windows open in the barn, say you do have all the doors and windows open and you're cleaning stalls, you can definitely notice a strong ammonia smell, especially if you've had horses in the stall. So are there other ways for barn owners and managers to cut down on ammonia in their barn?
Probably one of the things you can watch a little bit, because ammonia is produced from the urea that's excreted when we feed more protein than the horses require. So there's a little bit of that. But I think there are some of the ammonia controlling products that you can put down. Way back in the day, and I'm going to show my age, but we used to use hydrated lime as a way to help dry out the air, the wet spots in the floor of the barn. I think keeping them pretty clean is something that really helps. And one of the things you'll notice, because ammonia is pretty soluble, so you'll find that some days you'll go into the barn and the ammonia smell is quite a bit stronger than other days. It's probably also a day that the humidity outside and the humidity in the barn is much higher, and so that it's actually getting that ammonia up off the floor of the stall and into the air. But I think the biggest thing is just kind of being cognizant about what we're feeding and why. When you're cleaning stalls, you can get some of those products that will help to control the ammonia. They're certainly worthwhile, and doing a good job. And it'd be wonderful if it was possible. I don't think it always is that if you could be cleaning stalls with the horses out of the barn. So not only from an ammonia standpoint, but also from a dust in the air standpoint, and being able to get the horses out of the barn, clean the barn, and then, you know, once everything's kind of settled, bring them back in. That's a wonderful philosophy, but that's probably not practical for the vast majority of horse owners, because where are we going to put the horses? So, and it doesn't mean just getting them out of the stall. It actually means getting them out of the barn. But I think using some of the products, doing a good job of keeping your barn as clean as you possibly can. I don't think you have to be picking it multiple times a day, but doing a good job cleaning stalls once a day, and maybe using some of those products to help with the ammonia is your best bet.
So we're running out of time for today, unfortunately, but I have one more question for you before we wrap up. And that is, what is your biggest barn management pet peeve? So either something that you've seen often or you've only seen it once, what's something that just drives you crazy?
Probably the biggest thing is how we think we can use box fans to increase the ventilation in the stalls when we don't have any idea where the fresh air is coming from. I see so many box fans hung up there. They're not clean. They don't move very much air. And they're not doing the job we think they are. They make us feel better, but I don't know that they really do. There's better fans than that, better places to put them. Again, it just comes back to the ventilation, just thinking about the air that I need to move. Is it better air than what I'm just mixing? And I'm not really just moving air. I'm not exchanging air. I'm just moving it around, and moving hot air around, or just moving air around, really doesn't do very much good for that poor horse standing in the stall.
Yeah, I love what you said about how it makes us feel better, because I am totally guilty of maybe adding a blanket, or I've used box fans before that probably it did nothing for the horse and it might have even done harm, but it made me feel better. That's definitely something I have to watch with myself even. So that's all the time we have for today, but it's been wonderful talking with you, Dr. Coleman. I've loved hearing about your experiences.
Well, thank you, Haley. I appreciated the opportunity.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.